This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 36 for Sunday, January 27th, 2013. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network.
Guten Tag. And silence.
All right.
Hey.
That wasn't nearly as...
Hum jumbo.
Yeah, hum jumbo was really...
Well.
You shouldn't have reminded me that you were going to do it.
Well, it's in there.
Well, I know, but just don't remind me. I would have.
Okay, I'll come up with something incredibly obscure for next week.
Well, we're running out of the common ones, so.
I know.
All right. Anyway.
And I wish we could show the outtakes, too, because that'd be funny.
April 1st is coming up.
Yep.
This week, actually yesterday, you were a special guest on FP Geeks, FP TV.
That was actually really a lot of fun because normally you're the one hanging with the boys and I got to be the special guest. So that was really fun. I was their first female guest, special guest, which I think is an honor in itself. It was really sweet of them to include a section of the TV show about the PCA. And I'm really grateful for that. It is absolutely a worthwhile organization. Everyone out there should be a member. But since then, I've received several emails inquiring about how to join, how to access the library, all of that. So the press was wonderful.
And awesome.
I thank all three of the geeks for that. I also, we know Dan, Eric, and Stephen all personally. So being on the show was a total blast. These guys are awesome and funny, and it was just like being at a pen show with them, only virtually. The outtakes of their show were the comments before and after were a lot of fun as well. But I love that they talk about all sorts of stuff, and they made me pay. It's the first time I'd ever had to pay to be a special guest anywhere, but I had to come up with an obscure word, so that was a fun challenge.
Somebody in the chat said that it was unfair to have a college professor pick an obscure word. I thought that was cute.
I had to search to come up with something that wasn't, you know, like unusual. It really had to be like, what? Yeah. What kind of word is that? So,
well, yours was fountain pen. Was pen related?
Well, I wanted it to be pen related. I mean, something scientific. Maybe Stephen would have gotten that, or something technical, maybe. But I wanted it to be pen related. So I thought that scripturient, having a violent desire to write, was pretty fitting. So,
can you use that in a sentence?
I used scripturient as my obscure fee for the FP Geeks TV show yesterday. Eric used it in a tweet, actually, yesterday.
He did. He did.
He was feeling very scripturient. Sounds like a disease. I think you can take penicillin for that, Eric.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, it was a good show, I thought.
Yeah.
So, awesome.
What else?
We had a listener write in and ask a question. Whether or not they should ink a 20-year-old Mont Blanc 149 that was gifted to him by his uncle. This pen had been dipped once only, never inked, still had the stickers and all the paperwork in the box. So his question to me, should I ink this pen or preserve it, keep it in the box, put it on display, etc.? Now, this is an often debated, sometimes hot topic in the pen community. And you know, there's really no clear-cut answer. Everybody has their own preferences. I thought about it for a moment, and I answered the question with a very diplomatic, "it depends" answer.
Well, that doesn't help.
Well, in this case, actually... For the scope of the question, should I ink a mint pen? The answer is it depends. In this case, I think that since it was a gift from his uncle, Whether or not his uncle used it or not, he thought of him. And that's a pretty nice gift. And he thought of him, and since he was already familiar with the 149, it's a pretty big pen. He was familiar with it, like the way that the 149 feels in his hand. I said, go ahead, ink it up.
Especially since it had already been at least dipped.
It had been dipped, yeah. It's not always going to be my answer. In most cases, I'll say never ink a vintage pen.
You mean a mint?
A mint vintage pen, especially one that's been stickered or has a label on it. And now that points, it brings up the question as to what exactly qualifies as a vintage pen. That's usually up for debate. But for me, probably anything prior to, at this point, the 1980s, maybe, I would consider to be a vintage pen. Does that make me old?
I don't think you're old, but my qualification might be a little different. Anything that I can't, that I cannot purchase anymore.
So it's not immediately replaceable.
Correct. If I can't just go online or go to a store and buy that same pen again, that would be my line of qualification.
Does it, does the number, the quantity of production play into that factor?
Oh God, no. When I got my 75th anniversary, I didn't care what number it was. I didn't care. I can't get it anymore. I didn't care. I inked up that sucker that same day.
Well, technically, it was made in, 94, 95. So I guess it doesn't qualify as a vintage pen, but.
Well, but it fits my qualification that I can't just buy another.
Right. So right.
If you wanted to preserve it, you know, for your collection or whatever, mm-hmm. I've totally ruined it, but I'm good with that.
But, 20-year-old platinum preppy.
Oh, ink that sucker up there or more.
All right. Well, that's
we digress.
Yeah, we digress. It actually leads into kind of where I went with our friend and said, you know, there's plenty of Mont Blanc 149s. There's quite a number of them. Now, the same question always comes up in say the Esterbrook forum. Yes, 75th anniversary. The same question comes up in the Esterbrook forum, like on FPN from time to time again. Same thing. I got a pen. It's got stickers on it. Should I rip them off, ink it up? Yes, Esterbrook made hundreds of thousands, millions of J-series pens. Lots of them.
A gazillion.
Gazillion, I think, is the official number. and, you know, that's fine and well-to-do, but the number of mint Esterbrooks is, you know, it's today it's at the highest it's ever going to be. And if you start pulling those stickers off, you know, I guess that makes mine worth more money, but someone's always going to want a stickered pen and they're always going to command somewhat of a premium. But
then you don't use it. I would rather have a pen I use, but I mean, that's me.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the case. So you can buy a stickered pen for a non-stickered pen for X dollars, and there's a premium X plus Y. We're going to turn this into a math equation.
Oh, God.
X plus Y for a stickered pen that you're not going to use. Well, pay less for the non-stickered one, which can be cleaned just as well, mm-hmm. so that it's practically new. You know, save yourself the money. If you're not going to collect it to collect it, then maybe it doesn't matter. Anyway, it leads me to my next little mini Esterbrook lesson, I guess. Before Esterbrook used stickers, they used paper labels. And a lot of companies use paper labels. I always recommend keeping these intact. The reason for this, not only their relative scarcity, but Esterbrook's sales techniques were very clear. Number one, you sell the point first. And the first thing that they recommended is if the customer doesn't know what they want, you show them the medium nib first. So 2668, 3668, 9668. And then if they decide they want fine or broad, then you move them that direction. Once they find the point that they like, if the point is in the desired holder, the pen, the right color, the right size, the sale's complete. No problem. If a different holder is desired, they find the medium nib that they like, but it's in red and they want it in blue, you switch them out. And then at this point, the directions from Esterbrook, very clear, they read, and I quote, "Important, paper band labels will be inaccurate on all holders after points have been switched. For this reason, tear off the band label after the switch has been made. If each pen is in its proper point tray, no label is necessary." So they're telling you to rip it off. So if you find an Esterbrook with a paper label on it, don't rip it off.
Keep it on there.
Don't rip it off, please.
Yep.
Because they're just, they didn't last to begin with. So.
Well, that's cool.
Anyway, that's, I guess, a little thought about, it's not going to answer anybody's questions, I don't think, but.
Well, it's like new pens that you buy. They're all mint in the box when you buy them. So if you're buying them to use them, by all means, yes, you know, ink it up and use it. If you're buying it to collect them and not use them, then you would want the best example possible. So you go with a new one. You go with a mint sticker. That way you know that no damage has occurred. Nobody's used it. It's not all dirty and gunky and whatever. But
I guess aside, maybe we won't get into this now, but a side discussion of that is probably never, ever, ever, ever a good idea to buy a pen as an investment.
No.
So.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Let's see. The pen room. We've had a couple of requests for pen room updates. I guess people said we just stopped mentioning it once it was pretty much complete. So a little update now that we've been in there for, what, a couple months now?
Yeah, a couple months.
God, time flies. We did order additional shelves for all of the bookcases, and Carpenter Joe will be dropping those off soon. I've been saying this for a while. I guess I just need to call and remind him. I'm sure that he's in huge demand here in Appleton. He's amazing. He's fast. His prices are beyond reasonable. And so there literally is a wait list for Carpenter Joe.
Yeah. He's done work for like all our friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course, you know, we all recommend him because when you find a carpenter or a plumber or a auto mechanic or whomever, you absolutely recommend them to your friends. We've moved on to all the shelves and we're actually outgrowing them. So if we add more shelves to the bookcases rather than more bookcases themselves, I think that that'll take care of it. I just need Joe to bring the shelves he was supposed to make so we can fit more stuff onto the existing bookcases.
Yeah, my goal is to outgrow that in the first half of the year.
Oh. Well, we have a back wall. It's got a football, a baseboard heater.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll find space maybe where the paper is. We'll expand onto the house.
Something. There we go. That's a great idea.
Awesome.
Yeah. We got a Michael's gift card for Christmas that we need to use.
Yep.
We're going to frame out some really cool, they're vintage Pelican ads. Actually, they're reproductions of vintage Pelican ads. That were in, was it last year's Pelican calendar?
I think
calendar?
It was last year, 2012.
They're 16, I think they're 16 inches wide by 27 inches tall. Big. Really cool. We're going to have some mats cut. Use poster size frames. So that'll be cool.
Yeah. I'm also loving my shipping table from Joe. And I don't think I'd want it any bigger, but it does get full pretty quickly. But it's awesome. You can have two people, you know, somebody working on each side of the table and you don't bump into each other or, you know, there's plenty of room. It's truly the perfect size.
Yeah, we never would have found a good table
No, and it's, you know, the same material as the bookcases. So between the bookcases, the table, and then the bamboo, it's just really a beautiful, bright, clean space. Yeah. Still have to get a couple of extra stools for people to sit on.
Other than that, I think it's pretty well set up.
Yep.
Great storage space. Super easy to take care of the orders and do inventory. And we're going to have space for perhaps our first informal gathering of the Appleton Pen Club very soon.
Ooh. That's right. He hasn't seen it.
No, he hasn't. So I'm excited to see his response.
Which leads into...
I'm sorry. I'm waiting for you to talk. Ta-da! Nope. Our good friend Mike is going to be here on Wednesday, the third member of the Appleton Pen Club, which I believe will be growing, or maybe has grown. We're going to contact a couple of our friends who live locally who also collect pens, and hopefully that we can all get together and share some pens and play with some stuff.
Well, they've been down here, though. They've been in the pen room.
Yes. Yeah. Part of the design for the pen room always included space for a small pen club meeting. So we're excited to try it out.
Yep. See how it works. And it'll be fun to see Mike's first impression of the space. And, you know, Dave and Julie love to come down. And, mm-hmm. and Julie's great. She loves to play with the ink and see what's new. And
yeah. We'll see if we can get Pete to come over and...
That'd be great.
Yep. See who else is on the list.
Exactly.
So, cool. Very good. We have a couple of fun things to talk about.
Oh, new and modern, new and
new stuff
exciting on the website.
Some website stuff. So, yep.
Let's see. We did get the new Scribal Workshop ink in, and it is up on the site. The new Cryptid ink line. We added two new colors, Mermaid, which is a cyan blue, and Sasquatch, which is brown. I love that name.
The picture on the bottle is great, too.
Yeah. The drawings are awesome. The labels are just, you know, worth buying it for. Also, a new line of washable inks called Bunny Inks. Not sure why. Maybe they rinse out quick like a bunny? I don't know. Squidling, which is black. Salamander, which is red. Lizard Green. Toad purple is really pretty, and the damselfish blue is a nice blue. Really pretty, really interesting colors, and I believe according to our ink comparison chart, those are a pretty good value, aren't they?
The Cryptid are the best value dollar per ounce milliliter that you can get.
Awesome.
The Bunny are a little bit smaller. So they're not as great a value. I mean, they're still a good value, but the Cryptid are the best of any ink we carry.
That's awesome. Good to know. So glad we have the chart.
Yeah. And the Bunny inks come in a kind of a cool little bottle.
It is, yeah.
It's like it's almost like the sides are shaped for your fingers, and it's kind of cool.
Good design. They did a really excellent job.
Yeah, nice boxes.
Yep.
And I guess the exciting news for us this week.
Oh, my God. Dun-da-da!
And I guess I'll preface this by saying we've been waiting for and looking for this for about a year. We've not been able to find anything that really kind of meets our needs and our standards. We've found a couple things in the past, but it just they didn't work out like we expected them to. So the new announcement for this week is new leather products. So we're going to have new leather cases. We're going to have them in three. There's a 3-pen case and a zip as well. 4, 6, 12, 24, and 48 pen configurations, including a very cool, show it here, 12-pen portfolio case. You can stack all your pens in there.
Nice. You don't get the pens. Pens are not included.
Yeah, they are not included.
Sorry.
Cannot have my Aiken Lambert. Nice cases. reasonably priced. Nobody else has them. Yep. They are not the, you know, that was one of the things we don't want to carry something that everybody else has with respect to this. Workmanship quality, really, it really met our standards. We, you know, we had some products before that were cool, but they didn't hold up. And so,
yep.
You know, no way. But we saw these and we just got them in. They're amazing, really amazing.
These are incredibly soft and supple. And this one's for you, Eric. I cannot stop touching them and stroking them and playing with them.
That's going to show up on a quiz, you realize.
I know. What was Lisa Anderson talking about? 10 cases, people. These are, they're just so soft and smooth. It's not a hard shell, which has its place, but they're just, I love leather to start with, but these are just really amazingly nice. The black that Brian had is more of a polished finish surface, while the brown is more of a smooth, natural finish. Both are great colors, but for me, my favorite was the navy blue, and oh my God, it's gorgeous. It's I don't know if you can see it very accurately.
Yeah.
But it's a nice darkish navy blue. But there's no question, is it black, is it blue? It's really,
it's very pretty.
Yep. But it's good for either a man or a woman. And actually am going to just hide this one. Maybe Brian won't notice I have it.
I should mention that the blue is
limited
color. So
yeah, if the blue appeals to you, snag one, because we're not sure we'll be able to get too many more of the blue. And as requested, Eric, you need one of several of these. These are just awesome. Nice flap. Let's see, I'll make sure you can see it here. And the design was really well planned out so that it will accommodate 3 149 size pens.
So. 3 large pens will fit in very in all the cases, and in the 12, the standard 12, the 24, and the 48 cases, they have double elastic loops, and big pens. Your Ahabs, your Safaris, VAC 700s, they all fit very comfortably together. They're not bumping. The double. Loops are nice because then they don't wiggle around.
You don't have the barrels bumping into each other.
Right. Very, and the elastic very well loops planned out.
Are nice and wider. You don't have just a skinny little band. Very, very well designed. So that's our big thing. And I got to tell you, they're just awesome.
Yeah. And like we said, they're very reasonably priced. We try to keep the price down. To an affordable level, because there's nothing worse than, you know, we had looked at a lot of, like I said, we looked at a lot of cases, and some of them are very, very nice.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to pay $100 for a 4 pen case.
No.
You know, some of these places that, you know, they're like, that's crazy. So,
when we found these, we were sold. The quality is amazing. The craftsmanship, the work that went into the design really was impressive to us. And then we initially thought that they would probably be more than we wanted to buy them or sell them at. And we were shocked to find the price. We were sold. Like, yes.
Yeah. So
we want them. Pack them up. Ship them.
And the portfolio case means now that I can increase the number of pens I carry on a daily basis, which means...
Oh, I need one of those.
I can buy more pens.
You have enough pens. You can fill that without buying any pens.
I don't think so.
Anyway,
moving on.
Let's see what else is new and exciting. We have ink filling syringes and pipettes on the site now. The pipettes are a nice heavy-duty plastic. They're awesome if you do any mixing inks or if you're refilling a bottle from a bigger bottle to a smaller one, or if you're filling a traveling ink pot or something. The syringes are better for refilling ink cartridges. The pipette, we went with something that had a slightly bigger mouth on the pipette. We've tried other pipettes that have a super skinny end, but I found that those clog too easily or they bend, they've broken off. So we went with a pipette, and the pipette doesn't work as well for some ink cartridges. Just want to put that out there.
Right. Yeah. It's more for moving ink between bottles, and it works really, really well.
Yes.
I had a couple of these, and I use them on my bench here from time to time, and Lisa just kept stealing them for ink samples. I said, enough's enough.
Yep. And then we found them, great price, really good quality. The syringes are better for refilling ink cartridges or converters. And we offer two different sizes, the 18-gauge needle and the 20-gauge needle. You can buy them as singles or as a two-pack with one of each size. And those are perfect for getting into even the smallest of openings for cartridges or converters and refilling those that way.
Yeah, especially if you have a great example, a vintage Esterbrook cartridge pen. Cartridges are proprietary. Yes, you can fit a Schaefer cartridge in there. It's not a good fit. No. Lamy cartridges don't fit very well. If you have the original cartridge, man, just refill it. It's just so much easier. It fits better,
yep.
Especially if it's a two cartridge system that they had. They fit in nice and tight, and that's the way it should be.
Yep. So the syringes are awesome for that and very reasonably priced.
Yep. On the blog, we have some news.
Oh, we do. Yes. We have some new recurring blog posts or columns, if you will, that we've been playing with, and I think we've settled on a schedule?
I think so.
All right. Monday, we're going to alternate sharing our weekly carry. So, for example, last week was mine. This week will be Brian's. One of the things I'm hoping this will do, at least for me, is to prompt me to share some of the love among the pens.
Oh, really?
Just with the pens. Just, you know, sometimes we have pens that I'm assuming some of you do. What is that? That's my Stella.
You're sharing the love.
I'm not sharing the love with
you. You handed it to me today. I said, I need a pen, and you handed it to me. You're like, practically jumped out of your seat.
Oh, give it to me. Listening to you complain, I don't have a pen. You know, but the point is that sometimes you just get in a rut, and you have pens that you carry with you all the time that you know that work well, and you kind of forget about some of the others. Or maybe that's just us, but, you know, for example, I love my Schaefer Intensity, but for some reason, you know, I've got the new Edison Anderson LE in my case. I've got my Twisby ballpoint. I've got my Mare, my 75th anniversary. My problem, I think, is I don't know which one to rotate out.
I think your problem is you have too many Auroras. Maybe I can help you out with that.
I think that thieves used to get their hands chopped off in olden days. I could bring that back. No, I think I just need a bigger pen case so I could fit more pens. Well, that 12 pen case is
that
awesome.
blue 3 pen case is not big enough.
Oh no, I need like a 25 or 50.
They don't make it. We don't make it in blue.
Well, I'll figure it out. Anyway, so Monday will be daily carry, a weekly carry, and okay. We'll alternate. And then that way we can each use our pens for 2 weeks and then play devil's advocate swap some out. Yep.
I guess that means I have to decide what I'm going to carry.
Yes.
In what pen case I'm going to carry them in.
Oh, my God. Yep. Okay. What about Tuesday?
Tuesday, we're going to try to do a pen review, pen find, vintage, modern, of some sort. Tuesdays usually also I'll throw up the audio version of the podcast. So if you like to listen while you're running or on the go, usually Tuesdays I go up.
Or driving 2.5 hours to work.
Right. Wednesday, ink review of some sort. Could be a new ink or two that we just got in or some new ink that we're rediscovering.
We do that. We just keep finding ink bottles. Like, oh, I didn't know we had this. Or, you know, like
that
my
sounds like a personal problem.
I do not believe in the too much ink syndrome. So I think of it as I just forgot where I left it. You can't have too much ink.
I'm a very simple person. I've only got like 3-4 colors of ink, period.
Blue. Ottoman Azure, Mont Blanc Bordeaux, black and blue.
I did expand, though, this week, this last week.
What did you take?
You're going to laugh.
It's purple.
No, Aurora blue.
I thought you already had Aurora blue.
No.
Aurora blue, Aurora black, Ottoman Azure, and Mont Blanc Bordeaux.
Eclat de Saphir.
Oh, yes, that one too. That's gorgeous. Yeah. All right, let's see. We digress again.
We do.
Thursdays will be a writing or journaling related post. My goal is something to get you thinking and maybe even writing back on the page.
Yeah, good post this last week, by the way.
Thank you.
Fridays, we'll share what's up for the weekend post. Sometimes it may just be a glimpse into what we're truly doing for the weekend, repairs, printing, et cetera. Sometimes it'll be a discussion of pen-related activities, tips and tricks for antique store shopping, how to find good estate sales, what have you.
Yeah, that's our plan. More blogging, more connection with you, more topics that are not commercialized or sales pitches. I guess it's important to us that, you know, we may be retailers, but we want our friends and customers and readers to remember that we are collectors and users first and foremost. That's how we got into this. That's how we met, which is always my favorite story. And we've done everything you're doing. We've gotten down in those dusty antique store bins and gotten our fingers stained with ink. You know, we're writing letters and we're doing everything you are.
Yeah. And also, keep your eyes and ears open for a new contest going up exclusively on the blog this week sometime. No mail-in, so super easy. Super easy rules, open to everyone on the planet. So, cool little giveaway, and soon.
I think the only rule is be nice or be gentle.
Family friendly, I think is probably, yeah, be nice, family friendly.
Be gentle to my ego.
Oh, yes, yes. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
Let's see. We do need to discuss shipping.
Okay.
We do. The U.S. Postal Service increased their rates effective today. And so we have had to bump up our shipping in a couple different categories. And we do absolutely try to keep the rates low, but we have had to increase them a little bit. Some of the international orders will see a bigger increase. But as always, if we can ship for less, we will always refund the additional shipping. You know, for example, if you're charged, let's say $10 and we can ship it for $5, we'll refund you the extra. I personally hate to be charged for shipping, so I try to treat customers the same way. The good news is we're using a new shipping system, which will speed up international orders, and domestic orders will be easier as well, so we can get some of these out more quickly. Certainly more efficiently, but we also want to remind you that we do both work outside the pen business, so orders don't always get out the same day. We try. We really do. But, you know, that darn paycheck and hungry kids sometimes get in the way, the whole what's for dinner mom thing.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be changing in late spring, so brace yourself.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Anything else this week?
I promised some shout outs.
Yes.
Yes. Ira listened yesterday. He had fun listening to me and the geeks. So Ira, good to hear from you again. And I don't recall if you're going to be in Baltimore. I think the answer was no, but if you can make it, we'd love to see you again. Karen P. sent us an amazingly sweet note. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was really great. We've heard from her, and I think she was the one who commented on the writing blog as well about your word for the year. I noticed last night Sabina posted a hysterical, absolutely funny quote on her Facebook wall, so I enjoyed that. In fact, I I kind of nudged Brian and read it to him, and we both had a good laugh. We've heard from Vicky, and so glad you're still enjoying the Twisby, and I think we're going to see you in Baltimore.
Cool.
And then Richard C., a related huge, huge thanks for the most awesomest, and yes, I do teach English, the most awesomest Christmas card. It's wood.
Yep.
So that was cool. It came a little bit late. I think the post office wasn't quite sure what to do with it. I had to pick it up.
Yeah, they unfortunately.
Well, they hung on to it for a while.
They hung on to it for a while.
Yeah. But so. It's really cool. So that's going to go down in a place of honor in the pen room. Absolutely. So.
All right. That's it for this week. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin 54912.
Or definitely catch us online.
Email brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We are on Facebook, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
Check out our blog, andersonpens.net/blog.
And on the web, of course, andersonpens.net.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We'll see you next week.
Auf Wiedersehen.